Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Saturday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is September 25th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing all right. I'm a little distracted by Will Knights over here just hammering away on his keys like, you know, like he's got a vendetta or something.
He's angry, typing angrily over there. Maybe it's whatever you're telling him to put in the newsletter. Maybe he's had enough of your shit for the day or for the week as we're all jammed in this RV. We're now Saturday night, whatever it is, night four. We might be at our wit's end. We might be worse for the wear, but not because of just because of our station and our accommodations. I don't know.
Yeah. It's been a long week together. But
all right.
You know what? I think it's going well.
It's been fantastic. And we appreciate all your support. BixbyCoffee.com, Shotgun Start Blend, Westy Island Blend. We're seeing orders are through the roof, I'm hearing. But
really?
I don't know. I'm kidding. That was a complete joke. But I'm sure some people
subscribe.
We never
hear about our orders.
We appreciate your support. We know the names of the folks who are out there supporting the podcast.
We will see your name every few months.
We will see your name if you support the podcast, and we will remember it. I promise you. We have people come out, say hi on the course. I try to remember every name. I met a nice woman today named, I think I was saying Nikki. I try to remember everyone's name I meet on the course, like we do with our Bixby
what
subscribers.
What was the Evansville guy's name?
Evansville. Who? Will.
Matt from Evansville?
Yeah. See, I try to do a better job of remembering. Anyways, BixbyCoffee.com, Shotgun Start Blend, Westy Island Blend. Help support our endeavors. As idiotic as they may be.
Michael
Matt,
from Evansville.
Michael. All right. BixbyCoffee.com. And we appreciate it. So the datagolf.com projection, or I'm sorry, probability model. It's just probability. It's not what's going to happen. Not what should happen. 97.9% the U.S. is the probability of winning this 2021 Ryder Cup. They lead 11-5, and at 97.9%, should we be on the highway tonight, headed to Cleveland, the shores of Lake Erie, the fans, not the fans, we don't have a fan, whatever, the listeners, you know, we put that out there. If this got away from them, should the Bixby bus get on the highway and go watch this Bears-Browns game, because Sunday is just a foregone conclusion in the golf world.
You know, I found myself today yucking it up with some of the Euros out on the golf course. And they were insinuating that the U.S. might be choking it away in the afternoon. And I said, well, I hope they don't. They're going to ruin my football game tomorrow.
Choke it. Did they like that, the Euros? They chuckled? Do they know what football? Do they think you're referring to soccer?
The one Euro I was talking about said, well, are the Bears going to win? I go, they stink. And he goes, oh, he thought I was a Browns fan.
Oh, all right.
He goes, oh, well, I hope the Browns win. I go, I'm a Bears fan. And he goes, I don't know much about American football. I go, I don't know much about English football.
There you go. Is this over? 11-5. Greatest comeback in history is that, obviously, the four-point deficits we've heard about at Brookline and Medina.
Listen, I'm not going to say that it's definitively over because there's, you know, sports always ends up finding ways to defy itself. But you know what? All signs point to this doesn't really need much attention tomorrow because, like, what are the chances that they don't win three matches? 3 out of 12?
Yeah. Or have, you know.
Yeah.
Two and,
like, they can't effectively can't lose. And then you think about the players, like, can Rory beat anybody? No.
No.
Can Westy beat anyone? No. Poulter beat anyone? No.
I had an impromptu chat with you today. If you wanted Westy in singles, who would be the best? Who did you say again? The best case scenario?
Well, I think that you got to pair him against the weakest American player.
That was my hypothetical.
Who is JT? Guy stinks.
Is he the worst American player this week?
He's got the worst record. He's won he's one and one. Shake.
He's been pretty shaky.
Like, nobody else has a worse record.
Berger had some spotty shots today, too.
Spieth's one and two.
Spieth just couldn't get anything to drop today. If Koepka was one and two, he's probably frustrated with... Yeah, he did get Rahm. Koepka got Rahm both the Spaniards both day, sessions today.
So yeah. Koepka's one and two.
If we got JT Westy tomorrow, that would be just...
I'd go out and watch that.
Ultimate game within the game for just your heart and soul.
God, Westy's so bad. He's so bad.
Yeah. There's a lot that's bad. I will say this. Today felt... you know, there were still 3-1 sessions. It was 2-2 session. Today felt entirely different. Yeah. There was actual fight in the Europeans. I thought on Friday it just felt like a 16 versus 1 seed. Like, this is just... There's just a different level. Like, this is not competitive. Today felt more of like, I don't know, 12-5 game. Where the team felt like could win.
I heard they might have felt disrespected.
Oh, do tell. Disrespected by what? Getting their ass kicked on Friday?
I was talking to a group of them, a player, a couple caddies.
Interesting. No names. Okay. A player, a couple caddies.
Fine. I was talking to Fitzy, Chicago Zone.
Oh, all right.
Okay. And caddies.
Okay.
So, you know, there's wide-ranging topics. And somehow I said something about the beers... On the first tee.
The JT sideshow. JT and Berger.
Yes.
You know, whatever. Berger shotgun to beer. JT did the knee chug, half
JT
chug,
drank about two
turf.
Sips yeah. And threw it over his shoulder because he realized, oh no, I can't chug this whole beer. What am I doing?
So. Go ahead.
The term was that they felt disrespected, that they felt that it was very disrespectful to the competition, that they were signaling that it was over when there was a lot of golf left to play. And I think the Euros, they came out with a little bit more edge in the afternoon. All of a sudden.
I thought they had edge in the morning, too.
Yeah, they had edge in the morning.
I thought it was much more competitive. They all went to 17. Every match got to at least 17.
Oh, God. So. Every match got to 17.
What? I'm not suggesting that's some sign of competitiveness, but...
It's just like, so... That's how bad yesterday was.
Right, right. There were seesaws. I mean, Rahm and Sergio started 3-down and then came back and whipped the shit out of the Florida State boy. But,
I mean, the way this golf course has been, is, and the way the conditions have been in the afternoon, is like, if you don't have it, you get exposed.
Right.
Like, there's nowhere to hide out there.
Do you think they should have been disrespected? Felt disrespected?
I think it was pretty tacky.
So the crowd, I guess, on the first tee had been chanting, chug a beer, chug a beer. So I don't know if JT's stunt started that, because I came after.
Yeah.
Or they had shouted that at him and he obliged.
I think the fan, they were throwing beers to the fans.
Okay.
Some Mick Ultras, because, of course, Mick Ultra's involved.
So, like, kind of half beer, half water.
The thirst bucket of beers.
So, literally, JT was literally the thirst bucket of the week. He was thirsty, doing a thirsty move.
He just is the thirst bucket. We might just have to call him Thirst Bucket now.
Yeah.
Thirst Bucket Thomas. TT.
Oh, my God. TBT? All right.
But it got, I think the beers got thrown back to him, and that's where I think a chant started. Whatever it is, like, I feel like
dancing on the 10-yard line type thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, which is fine. Everybody's going to say we're being prudes. I don't know that I fully
just think
object to it.
I think the celebration, I'm not like opposed, like, I could see how they took it the wrong way.
I could see how Euros are like, fuck that. Like,
you know,
guys.
MJ happened to be in the house, and all I could think about when Fitzy said that was, and I took that personally.
That's a good point. So you could see him getting fired up. Fitzy, of course, didn't play this afternoon, right? But yeah, no,
one could wonder if one who sat on the 17th hole would wonder if Fitzy had played the entire week so far.
He's been saddled with Westy, who's getting putting lessons.
I think Fitzy's actually played decently.
He's played all right.
I think that's one of the things that I wonder about is, like, Why was Lowry like just
clearly a bolt of energy that they clearly came in his first one so fired up?
He played decent against but he was saddled with Rory.
Right. Rory's
LVP. He might be worse than Westy. He's made what, one eagle, no birdies? Did he make one down the stretch?
You got to show up. So I followed their match for a while this afternoon just to kind of see what if they had any gumption. And they got, you know, Morikawa DJ. It's hard. It was just the whole telling thing for me was just like by the second hole, you know, the par five, second hole, Rory has the longest drive. He's hitting his second shot last. But of course, he's hitting first, next, right? Poulter was farting around doing his own thing. But both American guys put it inside of him. And, DJ's putting for eagle. It's just, like, the sloppiness that we've come to expect from Rory. He's not on his game right now. The thing that, like, I find intriguing about it all is that Rory is supposed to be the bridge. Like, he has to be the bridge from like the 2010 teams, the 12 era, like the Donald, the McDowells, the Henrik Stenson, the Justin Roses, Westy, like that whole collection, the glory, like the true era of that continued the glory decades to whatever's coming next. And I don't think they know whatever's coming next yet. They think Hovland's probably going to be a piece of that. Rahm clearly will be a piece of that. Rahm seems to be like the next great, I don't know, the lead dog, so to speak. But someone had to be the bridge. Like, they've always had a bridge between eras, and that felt like it was going to fall to Rory, and he's been so bad, and it seems like indicative of, like, maybe this European run not continuing in a way that it has, you know?
Somebody's at the door. Oh, it looks like...
Hello.
Hey.
We're recording a podcast. Hey,
what's up, man?
Tom, we're recording a podcast right now.
Oh, hey, I just want to say thank you.
Hey, glad you guys had a good time.
Thank you very much. We just want to say you're the man.
Hey.
Right, so it's Friday.
Great job.
We were in there drinking.
You had a good time?
Yeah, it all worked out well.
That's good.
I'll fill you in.
All right.
Again, guys.
Hey, safe trip, Helm.
We'll see ya.
Our location's been discovered.
Apparently. We have people banging on the door. Rory, I don't know. That to me, like, if they want to sort of continue the tradition of excellence, Rory's got to be sort of a fulcrum of that. It's like, I don't know, in terms of bridging whatever sort of charged up and inspired and it, you know, the culture of those, these are a lot of intangibles I know I'm using, whatever the culture of that, those winning years were, and kind of carry that into the next generation of whoever that is, still TBD. And I don't know that he just seems so unfulfilled by like golf, by this, by anything that's not, you know, the Masters. I don't know. I'm just projecting on him.
What if Rory's just a guy now?
Yeah. He's so bad. He was bad. He was so bad. Poulter stinks.
We just hold on to 2014.
Yeah.
When we talk about Rory,
yeah.
I'm so tired of like he's the most talented golfer out there. He isn't.
Yeah.
Like he's not.
Who's the best player in these matches? DJ is 4-0. Feels like
Will, what was it?
It was DJ.
You're throwing him on the spot here.
DJ is 4-0. He's looking to become the fifth player in Ryder Cup history to go 5-0.
Fantastic.
There
good
he
stuff.
Is.
That was, you could probably read that in the Fried Egg newsletter tomorrow, maybe. Sure. All right. Subscribe to the Fried Egg newsletter.
I mean, yeah, he hasn't been one of the best players in the world. He hasn't been like the guy since 2014.
Yeah.
That's a
long time.
And
here we are talking about him
time.
And not DJ. I don't have much to say about DJ. This is like, maybe he's finally shed himself from the Furyk years. And maybe he's the bridge from the dark times to the, now he's ready to lead the new crop.
He's the opposite
bridge that Rory's not.
He's the only guy that's played on a Ryder Cup team before 2014 on this team. I think the second most tenured player is Spieth.
He probably loves playing with somebody like Morikawa and not, you know.
Furyk?
Yeah, right.
Bubba.
Hey, thirstier move, JT doing his thing, or my guy, Paul Casey, going up in the stands after he can't hit the broadside of a building for three sessions. Just awful. And he goes up in the stands. He starts doing the jogging move with the Guardians of the Cup. Guy always was looking for it. He knew what he was doing. He's been so bad. He should be hiding. He should be digging a hole and crawling in it, not trying to get on camera, you know, and, you know, show his face everywhere. That was thirstier. Then that bugged me more. Not bugged, but amused me. That's about right. More than the JT thing. So,
to his credit, Casey played decent today.
I guess.
He hit a great shot on 17.
He holed out on 6, whatever it was, 14 or 15. He holed out for a hole out two.
He hit an incredible shot on 17.
Okay, fine. After, like, they got, like, four down, five down, because he was so bad. He's been awful. So, the Lowry thing feels like the biggest blunder.
Yeah.
Not getting him out there for more than two.
But he's, like, he's just, like, intent. I don't know. That match, because I followed a lot of that match this afternoon with Lowry, and you could just tell that it was so uber important, and you look at it on paper, it's like Hatton might have shot 47 on the front nine. He was horrendous. I mean, he was in this pocket.
It was one on two for the front nine.
And, like, Hatton turned it on a little bit on the back. Like, he hit some good shots, but, like, I mean, Lowry was just dealing, and it was so illuminating. Like, how is this guy not playing? He hits it long. Right. Like, this is the things that Europe has been missing. They have been taken to the woodshed on the par fives and the 10th hole.
Yep. I think at one point they'd lost like 20 to 26 par fives or something that they'd gone through. I thought I
they
heard
were
late
12,
in the day.
Midway through the first match, they were 12 or 14 down on the par fives.
Okay.
As a team.
Yeah.
And
so that hole, what'd you say the other one was?
10.
Yeah.
10 is like a perfect example. Like, you just hit it up by the green and you get like this short pitch. And if you lay back, you hit a great wedge. Like, the short pitch is bad pitch is better than a good wedge.
Can I just say this was perfectly encapsulated by the last match of the day. I was following it into 10. And, like, Poulter, you know, he didn't hit as far up, right? He was not in a great spot. And he hits, like, this awesome wedge shot. So, like, he spins it. It was a kind of a gettable pin. And he's, whatever, inside 4 feet, 5 feet. And, like, great. Good job. That was an awesome shot. It's not going to win you. Morikawa's like, cool. Steps up. He's like up near the green. Like, just hits a perfect little pitch, like a little chip shot. Not a pitch, a chip shot, like inside of it. And it's just like, Poulter was just doing his histrionic screaming. And like, that doesn't matter. Like, you can't keep up. You're playing DJ and Morikawa. And it was a great shot on its face, but you just don't have the firepower, especially at that hole, to keep up. And Morikawa is like, it just, the way, the kind of contrast in demeanor after Poulter's doing his shouting, it's like, this is not getting you anywhere. It's not getting you anything. And I just will hit a nice little chip shot to closer to 2 feet because I'm up at the green and it's like, all right,
I'm hitting a chip.
Here, we halved it. Thanks for your shouting. Like, that's sort of what you're talking about with 10. They've been
murdering them on the 10th hole.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, when the Europeans have the 10th hole, it's like, thank God they didn't lose it.
Right. Well, maybe that's why he was shouting. Yeah. All right. I just want to call out Scotty Scheffler. He was great. He really got them that, I mean, kind of squashed this rally that the Europeans were trying to make charge this afternoon. Because Bryson kind of stunk. Let's be honest. He was, you know, the belle of the ball yesterday, doing all his chants and then hitting the big shot on five, the drive on five. But he stunk. He wasn't really in those holes, especially on the back nine. That was a Scheffler kind of win, right? At the critical moment against whoever they were playing.
He answered the bell. Hovland and
Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Right?
That was Fleetwood's first team loss.
Just want to give a shout out to Scotty Scheffler because he won't get a lot of hype either today. All right, what else? came from the day. What else?
What else came from the day?
Anything you hear amusing out on the ground?
I mean, there's tons of stuff.
Can we do tension corner? The grips sure. inside the leather.
Oh,
tension corner.
God.
Do you want to do USA versus the officials, the ruling?
JT, do you want to start with the trend that JT started?
That is,
you're playing somebody in a fucking match. Like, you got to make the putt if they say you got to make the putt. There's none of this measuring bullshit. Lowry did it.
As a joke, right?
As a joke, yeah. Because he did it again on 9.
Yeah.
And he saw JT, and he did it, and he looked right at him. He goes, because, like, he had to putt something. And then he goes, and he like, held the putter up. Yeah. Did you see that? You know, at JT?
You could do this 10 times a match. And JT just has to be the one that's indignant, right? That it was inside the leather or whatever.
I love Bryson putting it down because first of all, he uses like a 45-inch putter.
And even his own golf.com boys were saying, I don't think that was even inside his long putter. I think I saw one of them tweet. Like, that still was outside the length, but he's... He was like, Bryson, you know, you got the crowd. Don't be acting like a dumbass on the first green. On the first green.
I saw this, like, I saw a Will Bardwell tweet that, like, made me chuckle. He was like, I can't wait to watch, you know, Bryson just spend all this goodwill he's built up in the next week. And then I saw somebody tweeted back, like, next week? How about next day?
Next day. Plus, who was the... Who was the European duo in that? It was like the most benign, like, guys. Oh, yeah, Fleetwood and Hovland. It's not like Poulter or like some like red ass, right? Like, what's Hovland gonna do? Like, are you like they're the ones? They're Sergio. It's like Victor Hovland and Tommy Fleetwood are trying to, like, you know, put the screws to you in that way. It's just an unnecessary dumbass thing for Bryson to do, and I just don't think, like, as a general rule, in these high-profile televised matches, you got to make your putt. Like, or either make it. Don't bitch about it. If you got to put it closer.
That's
then,
the thing.
You know?
Like, you got to make putts. Like, that's like
that
sure you can get like kind of irritated on the inside, but like, don't show the guy up because he made you make the putt.
I feel like JT's the first one to do this that I can recall. He did it at the President's Cup, I want to say, in 2019. I believe, or maybe it was before that, but yeah, that's his move, and now Bryson's done it. Lowry does it as a joke.
It's like when you're a pitcher and the count's 3-0, and you're like, I'm not throwing a strike, like, right. And everybody knows you're not throwing a strike, but sometimes the batter swings at it, and here's the thing, like, I guarantee Hovland's like, oh, he's not going to miss that, but he might miss it. Like, you know, we have to make him putt it.
Right.
Like, they're losing. Right. They're down big. They have to. They need every single break they can get.
Right. Continuing attention corner, Spieth and Rahm's caddy of all things. Adam Hayes, I think his name is.
He's aggressive.
Hayes?
Oh,
Adam
my God.
Or Spieth?
I've watched a lot of John Rahm this week.
Yeah.
And he is a very aggressive caddy. I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, Steve Williams was an aggressive caddy.
Yeah, he's an American.
He is not afraid of, like, being, like he, like, yells at fans. He does a good job, like,
I mean,
getting
he's not
fans.
The number one player in the world. He
needs
to be.
You need to, yeah, but I don't know. It seemed like...
What was that all about? It just felt like, why was he getting involved? You know, I was out there, so I didn't, like, see...
That
I
match had a few moments.
Yeah,
it was
well,
chippy.
Sergio and yeah, Spieth stunk. He was not stunk, but he just couldn't get anything to drop. And he also, yeah, it was flex sealed a little bit on this afternoon. He was hitting some hooks.
Hit
on
a lot
the beach.
Of good approach shots.
Not late, but that was interesting. It just provided some juice, a little bit of Ryder Cup drama. Continuing on with tension corner, the rules officials versus the Florida State boys. Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger, who was also...
And Sergio spitting out his ice because he was laughing.
Standing over the ball as if he was, like, taking a swing, you know, addressing it. Like, what are you adding to this right now? I think he was just trying to stir the pot, mix it up, which I appreciated, given the lack of pop this event had until then.
I was over there. I was over on the other side. I was at Rahm's ball on that hole. And it was just a funny moment because Rahm came over... Adam Hayes went over to, like, see what's going on, And Rahm's like, what's going on? And Adam Hayes goes, oh, Sergio's over there. Don't worry. Like, you know, it was just like a perfect response. Like, oh, Sergio's got it covered.
He was having a ball with it. I just thought, so here's the spicy take of the day. Tweet, the Euros, you know, they're on their heels. They're wounded. The Euro press. I listened to Sky Sports. It was just absolutely delightful. Talking about the mob mentality that takes hold at these events in the States. Just, they're ready to talk about the boorish behavior. But Ewan Murray, who is a great writer from across the pond, tweeted, abusing match officials isn't allowed in any other sport. Kepka and Berger have lost a hole for their conduct there. Forfeit of a hole for, you know, arguing for a relief or prop. Yeah, relief from it was like a drainage.
How great was it? Kepka's like, have you ever seen me hit a golf shot? And the official Price being like, I've seen you hit a lot of golf shots.
Apparently, a well-respected official, same guy who called the DJ Bunker Gate thing here. I just thought, like, and the Euros who were had enough of these guys' nonsense said, you know, if you're going to break your wrist, take a drop, take an unplayable, right? If you think you're going to hurt yourself, then just take your medicine. But that was, I just love Sergio being the pest. You know, when we're losing, I speak as like I don't really care if the U.S. wins. As a matter of fact, it's usually beneficial when they lose for my business. But like when we're losing, Sergio's like the big, you want to like knock him out like this. And then like when it's like competitive or you're looking for stuff, you're like, God, I love this guy. I love that he's here mixing it up. He had no business. He could stand and like lurk, but I mean, he was literally on top of the freaking ball. He was in front of the other two, the team that was playing the ball. So Berger was not happy with that.
That was
official.
Like a 20-minute delay.
He goes, "It's what did Brooks say? It's on fucking you if I break my wrist. Both of you on the two officials." So
you know what it made me think of immediately, what? Like what? When he said that.
What
was the Red Hot Chili Peppers song "Scar Tissue"? You know.
Why?
Brooks, because Brooks just saying scar tissue that I wish you saw to the officials, because like they can't see how like worried he is about his like wrist. He's Mr. Glass.
You're reaching a little bit. I think you're reaching. Look at Will. Will is
the second Red Hot Chili Peppers song he's made up or he's brought up this week.
Second Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What's the other
reference?
One? Oh, that was a good one. I forgot that one.
What did you reference Under the Bridge in relation to?
Someone
hit it under the bridge.
I said,
well, that makes more sense.
Hanging out with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I do remember that. That makes a little more sense than the scar tissue thing. I don't think I followed that all the way.
Oh, that
home.
Was when we were playing golf.
Oh.
It wasn't what happened out on the court.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. I think that concludes Tension Corner. Bernd Wiesberger stared down a fan. That was another moment. Anyway, the whole point is there was just some more juice on that.
Hatton hit a shot on 15. Some fan yelled in the backswing. Yeah. I swear the fan was right by me. Uh-oh. Because like I think for a second he thought it was me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I was like kind of like holding up my red sweater. Your like, media vest. Me. My red vest.
Your media credential, yeah.
But they've got all these things. Like Adam Hayes went nuts on the 12th hole maybe yesterday. Because somebody said something to Rahm before he hit and he stepped off. And Adam Hayes like, went across the tee and was like, you said you were going to throw people out for that. That's the guy. Throw him out. Yeah. And they didn't throw him out. But, like, I don't know. The fan behavior has been pretty good, I think.
Yeah, it's certainly not what they deal with week to week. But having been at Hazeltine, you're just farther back, right? You're not in their face on these tee to green or green to tee walks. So I don't – I thought it had potential to get really ugly this afternoon. Because I thought the fans on the first tee, you know, JT got them all whipped up with his chugging and they could smell blood and they've been drinking all day. And then they're like, this is going to be a party and we're going to, you know, antagonize the Euros on the way to our celebration. But it wasn't that bad. I mean, you hear dumb stuff. You hear a lot of dumb stuff, but I don't think it's crossed the line where like it's really impacted play or been there's some nasty things are said, and there's some huge, huge idiots, but nothing too bad. Certainly relative to Hazeltine, in my opinion. What else do we have? Who was your least valuable player? Hatton was bad. God, he almost... That 18th hole was...
He came up big, though. He made the par on 17. He made a bunch of birdies. He birdied 11 on the back nine. Like, he played really well on the back nine. They ham and egged it well, because Lowry, he played about as good of a nine as you could play out there when the conditions were so tough on the front nine. And then Hatton came through with a handful of birdies on the back nine and big shots when Lowry really was out of it. And obviously the Lowry up and down. But least valuable player has to be Rory. Like, you can't be a team leader and just utterly stink.
Yeah.
We talked about how hard it was going to be for the Euros to lose if Rahm played great, mm-hmm. and Rahm's played great, you know?
Yeah.
And say he wins tomorrow, he gets 4 points. It doesn't take much from the team to get to retaining the cup when one player gets you four, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, Rory has to get you two.
Lowry was the first non-Spaniard to win a point.
Yeah.
Right? Or Lowry and Hatton, I guess, was with them, right?
Like, if Rory gets you two at this point,
right,
it's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
It's 7-9.
Right. But he played DJ Morikawa. It's not like today,
still,
at least.
It's Rory. It's your horse.
Right.
He can't give you a bagel.
Right.
Somebody texted me that we should be coming out on Monday morning with Westy's bagels to go with Westy's coffee.
That's cruel. That's cruel to Westy. We get Westy, Jay. Do we not have singles yet? We were trying to stall till we got singles lineups, but it doesn't seem like those have been released yet.
Who's your LVP?
I was going to say Rory. I don't know.
Westy? Paul Casey.
But here's the thing. People are pouncing on Paul Casey. Yeah, absolutely. This morning's lineup, I think, like, the Casey Hatton thing, like, that never had a chance. It never had a chance. They got a little competitive towards the back half, but it never had a chance. Casey's the LVP. But the other thing is, like, people are getting at Harrington for his tactics and maneuvering. Like, he's making a bunch of blunders. Like, his team sucks. They weren't good coming into it. They've not played
well
here.
Well, I think
one mistake was the Casey. I thought the Casey Hatton thing was like a very glaring thing that was never going to work, no matter who they drew. That was never that was especially in a session where you needed points. Like, you can't have another 3-1. Putting Casey Hatton out there was like a concession almost, given what we'd seen. And, you know, that was the least competitive match of the morning. They made it somewhat close towards the end.
They got to 17.
I mean, there was felt never in doubt. Rory's never led.
Rory hasn't made a birdie.
It's insane. It's bad. So yeah, Casey's my
LVP.
He
made an eagle, not a birdie.
But what do you think Harrington could have done differently? Could have done differently so far?
I think Harry could have played instead of Rory.
Harry Diamond?
Yeah.
The astronaut could have come out of the team room and swung the club.
Like, I don't know. Here's the thing. If you know your team sucks, if you know your team's worse, then you just have to sit everybody. Bernd Wiesberger has been one of the better players on the Euro team.
I guess.
He legitimately has. He should have played, like, you should play your eight, and that should be it.
Sure. So
that's where the fault for Harrington lies is that the U.S. changed their qualification. Like, they seized the opportunity with COVID and changed their qualification.
Right.
The Euros didn't. And they got this janky-ass
roster puzzle
with three captain's picks.
Wiesberger sneaks in at the end, but it's like...
Well, I mean, the problem... I don't know. It's an interesting thing, too.
Hatton hasn't been good in a long time.
It's easy to look at Poulter and say, hey, you shouldn't have picked Poulter.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, was it time to bring another youth member on and help the transition, like, you know, kind of bring it along?
Yeah.
Was it time to bring somebody else in?
How many more do you think Sergio has?
One or two.
He's going to play in Italy, it feels like. He's got to. I mean,
he's been so good.
Everything you've seen this, like, he literally has to be broken down in 2 years to not get a spot, no matter where he is, right? In the world rankings.
I mean, Rahm's been so good.
Right. He's really stepped it up in the way you'd expect. Anything else?
His dad was going nuts.
His dad? I've heard his folks can be a little.
His dad, A, like, is a spitting mirror image of Jon Rahm, like, right, an old Jon Rahm. Right. Like, I turned to Will, and I was like, Will, is that Rahm's dad? And he was like, I don't know. I go, look at, like, that has to be him. Like, the same body type.
Look like
type.
A thumb?
Yeah, the same, like same body type,
senior
too.
Senior thumb, just an older thumb with senior more wrinkles thumb. On it. Senior thumb. It's just done a little more hammering and grips. Just these hands, his thumb has been worn down with life. More years on it.
When he canned the putt on 16, and I mean, there was like a lot of wives around, a lot of like, there were some kids around.
Yeah.
He cans this long putt and he starts yelling, Punta Madre, right? Over and over and over again. Which,
screaming it?
Screaming it.
It's like obscenity in Spanish.
I mean, it's motherfucker.
Yeah. I don't speak Spanish. It sounds bad. Just he's screaming it over and over again.
Screaming it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. How about that? Did you want to talk about the American Marshals? We were on the first tee. Oh, should we not? Should we save that for Sunday? Recap show?
I don't know if I...
We got to get rid of the fan groups. We just all the fanatics.
They need to
the
be
Guardians
gone.
Guardians of the Cup.
They
the
shouldn't
Euros,
be supported.
The American ones. They shouldn't be given the spots that they're given. They should be
yeah, they shouldn't
the
be
premises.
Supported by the PGA.
Yeah.
They're like 55-year-old men. And I'm not here to tell any person how to live their life, okay?
Sure you aren't.
I'm not here.
Sure you are.
No. No.
Okay.
But if I told my wife that I was going to the Ryder Cup and I was going to dress up in a costume that eerily resembles what some people wore to the insurrection of the Capitol building.
I think that's just a coincidence, though. No, it's I mean, well,
somebody needs to
head.
Look in the mirror.
They got
say,
animal horns
hey,
in the,
hey
this
guys,
place.
This isn't white. The best. This is not the best outfit. And chant shit, you know. Like,
although they are the most benign, they chant like Bobby Stricker. Like they're the worst chants ever. And they once started a chant that said "No more booing" to try to tell people to stop booing. To which the people started booing the chant for "No more booing," which just killed me. They turned on their own.
This is what I'm saying. They just shouldn't be there.
They're terrible. Like, hey, Amy, my wife. It's like, I gotta go put a hockey jersey on and some Viking horns.
For a week.
And spend like $5,000 or what. I'm sure some of it's comped. And go to Ryder Cup to do bad chants. Yeah, it's just a weird thing now that came together, isn't it? So, yeah. But to be honest, like, they're all bad. They're all these, you know.
The
Guardians of the Cup.
The costume has
changed. I wish you could see Andy's just hands in the air. He's incredulous. All right. Do we have singles? Do we have lineup?
What's going on?
God, what's the
delay?
Do you
think Harrington's stalling here?
What's going on? He is still
talking. Yeah. Do you think he's trying to stall so Westy can get some more putts
in?
Has
anyone said they were disrespected by the beer chugging? Do we have any quotes yet on that? Oh, that's a...
Eight of the 12 Europeans haven't won a point.
Oh, 8 of the 12? Half. But even a half? Or you
Hovland hasn't won one.
He's played all four. He got at least a half yesterday, right?
Half.
1, 2. Fleetwood McIlroy.
This is good radio. Yeah. So
Fleetwood got a half.
Fleetwood got a half yesterday. I'm saying, those are the people who haven't won a point. I mean, it's just Rahm, Sergio, Lowry, and Hatton got the last one. Those are the only full points that have been won. So
Hatton's got 1.5 total.
Right.
You're dogging on him. He's like one of their superstars.
Have we not talked about the American team? Have we not talked about the American team enough? We can do that Sunday in a holistic.
I mean, what do the people want from us? It's Saturday. We're sleeping in a fucking RV. Like, been in here since Tuesday.
I don't know what the people want from us, but you make a valid point. We'll be back Sunday night. As noted, we're sleeping in an RV. If you could support the podcast, go to BixbyCoffee.com. Get the Shotgun Start Blend. You get 10% off through Saturday night. If you're listening to this, it closes at midnight Saturday night.
Saturday? We are an extended. It seems short-sighted today.
I don't run the business. BixbyCoffee.com, Shotgun Start Blend, Westy Island Blend, the new pitcher packs, which are completely, you know, convenient and easy. Throw them in a pitcher.
And could be like the best deal on coffee that you can buy.
I don't think we're getting a margin on that.
I think we might lose money on it.
All right. Hey, we got to get these beers in the fridge. They've been sitting on this
counter. I know. I've been looking at them too.
Christ. All right. Everyone enjoy your Saturday nights. We'll be back Sunday with a full recap of the Browns-Bears game from the Muni lot in Cleveland, Ohio.